Good morning, church. How's everybody today? Let's try it again. Good morning, church. All right. Well, welcome to Fairlawn Baptist Church. Today is the fifth Sunday of the month, so that means today is Youth Sunday. And so you get the pleasure of hearing some of our youth through music and announcements, and then you got to listen to me speak for a little bit. But on the announcement part, come on up.
I'm Eliza.
I'm Sarah.
And we're going to do announcements today. So, yeah.
Sure. The Pray Station is having a Spirit Wars camp for children going into first through fifth grade on July 15th through the 18th. And you can sign up for that in the Pray Station. And the Sportsman's Ministry is having a Hunter Education course on August 9th and August 10th, and you must attend both sessions in order to receive a Hunter Safety Card. It's a free event, and lunch will be provided.
The Pathway Dinner number 2 will be Sunday, July 14th at 6:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. They are going to discuss what to do about Sunday and Wednesday evening services, so be here for that. And then July the 4th at 7 p.m., they are having fireworks with the Mishpacha group, and they bought a bunch of fireworks, and it's always really, really cool, so show up for that. Thank you.
All right, thank you, ladies. A couple other announcements on the 4th of July celebration with the fireworks. You all are invited. And please bring a cookout type of side dish with that. And then also, if you have brought dishes here in the past, we have a lot of pots and pans left over. And so there is a gray tray out here in the foyer. If you can, stop by and see if you have one still there. And please pick it up. And then next Sunday, this is an announcement for Havoc. Next Sunday at 5:30, pool party at my house. So not everybody, please don't everybody show up. But yes, 5:30 next Sunday in the evening. Let me know if you can come. That way we can get pizza planned. I think that's all the announcements today. Do we have a read and response today? So if you all would please stand, we're going to do a read and response, and then we'll pray, and then we'll greet one another. What else does Christ's death redeem? Christ's death, in the beginning of the redemption and renewal of every part of fallen creation, as he powerfully directs all things for his own glory and creation's good. And we get that from Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, which say, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the chance to be here this morning. Lord, we just ask that your Spirit would be with us. Just fill this room, open our eyes and our ears and our hearts just to receive your word. And we ask these things in your precious Son's name. Amen. Greet somebody this morning.
Everybody. Ooh, that's loud. So, as you can see, I'm not Rick, and this isn't Taylor or Jalen. So I'm Wesley. This is Katie. We're going to be leading worship this morning. So
bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, worship your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, worship your holy name. Slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship his holy name. Like never before. Oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, worship your holy name. Your holy name, Lord, I worship your holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. Worship your holy name. Worship your holy name. I love so. Has come to save me, and this love changes everything. could do the things that you've done in my life. Your ways are faithful. Your works are beautiful. Your word sets the captive free. Your hand upon me heals and restores me. Your grace fills my every need.
Won't you? You will always be the king on the throne. Now your praise will always be on my tongue. No one else could do the things that you've done in my life. There's no greater love that's ever been shown. And your song in me just has to be sung. No one else could do the things that you've done in my life. You said that if I follow you, I'll know the truth and do the things you do. Yours is the kingdom and the power. Forever, Lord, you will always be my guide. You will always be the king on the throne. And your praise will always be on my tongue. One else could do the things that you've done in my life. One else could do the things that you've done in my life. One else could do the things that you've done in my
I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. Oh, I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Yeah.
Do a great job. I'm a little bit prejudiced. You see the phone number on the screen? That's this phone. If you call it and I don't answer it, leave a message. This is a different phone than I'm used to. This is the phone I'm used to. But you call that number, 483-8862, if you need anything this week at all, and we could help you with. All right, hushers. Isn't it time for the offering? Offering, offering, offering? Ushers, ushers, ushers. We need ushers. All right, you Utes. Utes, Utes, Utes. Yep, there's two old Utes. All right, I suppose I'll be the blunt of jokes to come up in the message. It's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for taking care of us. And Father, we thank you for the participation of our youth today. Thank you for Mark, as he's coming to share here in a few minutes. And Father, we just pray that you'll use this offering to further your kingdom's work here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
hear me? All right, good. Let's give it up for these guys one more time. They volunteered to do this, and they took time out of their schedules to practice and work together as a group, and we're all very, very thankful for that. So before we get going, just to clarify on the announcements I made, they did an awesome job with announcements. I kind of fumbled through it a little bit, so let me try this again. The 4th of July, we will be doing fireworks. You're invited to everyone. Please come. Last year, they were awesome. This year, they'll be awesome again. That dude right there is crazy. But he puts on a great fireworks show. You're all and please invited to come. Please bring some food. That actually will happen over here at Sportsman's Park. It won't happen inside the church. I don't think that would go very well. But it'll happen over in the field over behind us. And then next Sunday night is starting at 5:30 for Havoc, which is 6 through 12, pool party at my house. Clear as mud? All right, I think I did all right. All right, so Havoc. What in the world is Havoc? Well, you can see it says, having a view of Christ. And so I think last Sunday, you have to forgive me, I wasn't here, I was on vacation. I was sitting on a beach. It was terrible. I mean, it was really horrible. I'm sure you guys wouldn't want to be in my position. But I think last week you guys started the ask the pastor a question type of thing. And they're going through the series of kind of like the top five questions that were asked. And so today we thought some of those questions were actually, what do you see the youth doing in the future? What is the youth program? And where do you see it going? So today is kind of going to be an introduction to some of y'all if you're not familiar with the youth program, but then also a little bit of an insight of where I see this thing going over the next few years. So that's where we'll be going. If you have your Bibles, we'll be reading from 1 Peter, so you can go ahead and turn there with me. But Havoc, it stands for having a view of Christ, and we're a group of 6th grade through 12. And we actually meet over in what used to be the old parsonage, which is now what we call the Havoc House, which is over here behind us. And we've kind of ripped out some walls, opened up some areas, and that's where we do our thing. So I got some pictures of some past events here. And so pictures speak a thousand words. This was a lock-in that we did. Who's ever willingly stayed up all night long? Who has ever willingly stayed up all night long with a bunch of teenagers? Y'all are crazy, just like me. But we did. We stayed up all night long. We played lots of games. I'll be honest, about 4 a.m., about half of our teens started really, really dragging. And they thought I was mean because I wouldn't let them sleep. I said, no, we're here for a lock-in. There is no sleeping. And so we had to do things to motivate them. One of them being going outside in 20-degree weather to shoot basketball. It woke them up. You know, it worked. But we did have a good time. We had fun. And we'll always do a lock-in. We do try to do at least one a year. And then we also do some game nights that aren't quite all night long. But we typically go bowling, we get to do all sorts of crazy games, we run up and down through the halls doing different things, and it's a good time. So if you ever want to see the craziness, sign up to volunteer, we'll take you. You won't sleep any, you'll play games with a lot of teenagers, and you'll be exhausted, but it's great. But those are some of the things we did. Now this next slide always gets a little bit of... So there's our sweet musician there this morning. She didn't make it all the way through the night. So we were literally in the middle of playing a game, and the game is if you're out, if you get eliminated of the game, you run back to the fellowship hall, and you have to wait until the next round happens. Well, she ran back to the fellowship hall, and as soon as she hit the door, it was bam, she was gone, out. And I think she actually laid there for about 20 minutes until the game was over, and then we had to pry her up off the floor. But that was good. Another thing we've done before is YEC, which is Youth Evangelism Conference. This year that was actually held in Clarksburg, and they had a special speaker, special musicians and bands there, and they learned about evangelism. It's a great conference, and we always go to that every year. And then this next slide, Baptism Sunday. We had the pleasure of baptizing three this year already in our youth group. And so I show pictures of the fun things that we do because they are teenagers. They want to have fun. We want to be fun with them. But that right there is what it's all about. That is the root cause of why we're here. And so that was a great experience. There's a try to get some of the silly pictures of them. They're doing peace signs and stuff like that. But they talk about excitement. Those three ladies were on cloud nine that morning, just full of joy and excitement about doing it. And listening to some of the people that they go to school with, they were telling people at their school, "I'm getting baptized this day." And so they were excited about it, and they were spreading the word of God throughout their school, whether they really realized they were doing it or not. So that's kind of what we are. I guess our times that we meet, we actually meet at 9 o'clock hour over at the house, and we call that Havoc Hangouts. And over there, we just normally play some games. We normally eat some donuts, play games, eat donuts, hang out, and we do kind of a fellowship time. And then at 10:30, you'll see normally we come in here for the announcements and introduction, and then after that, you notice we all leave. And so during the 10:30 hours when we actually do our true Sunday school type of setting, and we are doing the gospel project, which follows along with all the other Sunday school groups here. And then Sunday nights, we typically do another Bible study. We just finished up one that was called Secular Gods, where we went through the different secular gods out there that our students are facing, such as atheism, humanism, and all sorts of other things that they're faced with. And then on Wednesday nights, we meet again on Wednesday nights, and that's just another time to hang out and have some fun. So if you hear this, lots of fun and games and stuff, and you're jealous and you want to come hang out, we're looking for volunteers. So please feel free to come and help out. The last couple years, we've seen the age of our youth group really do a pretty drastic change. 2 years ago, we graduated 12 high school seniors out of the youth group. Year before that, we graduated 9. And then the year after that, after the 12, we graduated 6. And so our youth group was really old. We had a bunch of old guys. They all graduated. Many of them are still here today. And so what that means is our youth group shifted from being very, very high school to very middle school age. And so it's a different dynamic. And we have a lot of young youth group students, which is awesome. But I think this year, after we do the move up in August, I think we'll actually have enough to break out into different sessions during our Sunday school hour, where we'll have a middle school focus and then a high school focus. We haven't been able to do that in years past because we were so high school, but we're actually going to break back out. So that's kind of, I guess, our history of where we are, what we are currently doing. And so kind of going on into the future of what we are planning to do, we have done this thing called Project Parkersburg for the past 10 years. And Project Parkersburg was a great thing, and it still is. Except, I did find this out, that Project Parkersburg is actually the name of a drug task force program by the Parkersburg Police Department. And every July, they go on a drug raid. And they call that drug raid Project Parkersburg. All the luck. That is not what we do, all right? Project Parkersburg is where we have been doing service projects throughout the community, and we've done that for 10 years, and we've done all sorts of different service projects. We've done a lot of them here locally at the church. We've done it for church members and families. We've done it for the local school system. We've went to nursing homes. We've even stood out on a corner and handed out free newspapers and coffee and pumped gas for people. You'd be surprised how many people in Parkersburg will not let you pump their gas. It was really weird. Or cleaning the windows. Like, we didn't want anything for it. We just wanted to do it because we love Jesus. We just wanted to show the love of God. Don't you dare touch my car. So that was a challenge. But we've been doing that for the last 10 years, and it's been great. This year, we're actually changing up a little bit. And so this year, we are going to Tennessee. And we're actually leaving July 22nd. It'll be 22nd through the 26th. We'll be doing a church camp down there. It's in Pigeon Forge. It's put on by, it's called Student Life, but it's actually Student Life Ministry and Liberty University. They combine tasks, and they do this thing that's pretty awesome. They have about 20 of these every year, ranging from Pigeon Forge to Myrtle Beach to places out in California, Las Vegas, Texas, all over the place. And what it is it's a week long of preaching, Bible studies, small groups, worship activities, games, fun, and rock bands. And so you put all that together for a week long time, and these guys are going to have some fun. And I get to go along just to have fun with them. So we're going to try that this year, see how it goes. It looks great. The lineup is good. So we'll let you know in a few weeks how that goes. And so kind of the thinking here was, while I really liked Project Parkersburg and what it did, I wanted to see how we would do leaving Parkersburg. How would we do as a group to get out of this immediate area? And so this year is not a mission trip. This year is just kind of a trial run to see how we like it, to actually go to a camp and see what it's like. And with the idea that in the future, this camp might grow into a mission trip, whether that be in the state of West Virginia, whether that be in California, or whether that be overseas somewhere, I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see where God takes us. But that's kind of the idea of what we're going to be doing in the future. So why do we all do this? Why do we spend all this time and effort in our youth? Our youth are very vital. I've told them a lot that they are the future of Fairlawn Baptist Church, or they are the future of whatever church that is. They are also the future of, will there be a church? That's on them. That's their decision. And we get to guide them to that and help lead them and help prepare them for that. We can't make those decisions for them, but we can help lead them the best that we can. And so our focus on saving lives for Christ, that's first and foremost. But I think we can get caught up in kind of the scenario of, well, you know, I accepted Jesus, now I'm done, right? I'm good. Well, that's actually just the beginning. That's not where it stops. You don't accept Christ and then you're done. That's just when the journey starts. And so Havoc is to teach them how to live their lives with a Christ focus throughout a world that has no view of Christ at all. And so that's what we are trying to teach them. That's what we're trying to lead them through. And so that brings us today, our scripture. And so if you would turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. I think this series of scriptures really sums up a lot about what I think Havoc is and what God has laid on my heart as far as what Havoc is. And in my Bible, it actually, chapter 4 starts out with a title. It says, Following Christ. How appropriate. And so if you look at your Bible, in the very beginning of chapter 4, it might be titled, Following Christ. So let's read with me. I'm actually going to read starting in verse 1. And then we'll focus in on verses 7 through 11. So 1 Peter chapter 4. Therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same understanding, because the one who suffers in the flesh is finished with sin, in order to live the remaining time in the flesh, no longer for human desires, but for God's will. For there has already been enough time spent in doing what the Gentiles chose to do, carrying on in unrestrained behavior, evil desires, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and lawless idolatry. They are surprised that you don't join them in the same flood of wild living, and they slander you for it. They will give an account to the one who stands ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was also preached to those who are now dead, so that although they might be judged in the flesh according to human standards, they might live in the spirit according to God's standards. And so here's our focus scripture. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and sober-minded. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others, as good stewards of the very grace of God. If anyone speaks, let it be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, let it be from the strength that God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Bow with me as we pray. Father God, I do come to you this morning thankful once again for this wonderful youth group that you have given us. Each and every kid is so special and awesome. We are just so thankful for them. Lord, I ask that you would open our hearts to your scriptures this morning and to the message that you want us to hear. We ask these things in your son's name. Amen. All right, so 1 Peter chapter 4 here. Again, our focus scripture is verses 7 through 11, so we'll start there. And it says, when Peter says the end is near, he was essentially saying there is nothing keeping Christ from coming back. Everything is ready. And so he was saying this way back then. It's still true today. Nothing's really holding Christ from coming back. The end is near. It could be right now, or it could be another 2,000 years. We literally have no idea. But the hope is still true for them that it was back then today. It is as it is today. And so Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says this. It says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through him also he made the universe. And then continues on over in Acts, it says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. So when Christ was resurrected from the dead, that's when we entered these last days. And so in Peter, he's saying, be ready. The end of times is near. Be alert and be of sober minded. Be ready and be prepared. So you could read that and you could take it, well, the end of times is near, and you could kind of take a negative view of that, right? You could be scared about it. You could be worried about it. You could be consumed about it, that it could be happening any time. Or you could go the opposite route, thinking, well, the end is near. I might as well just go blow all my money. I might as well just do everything that I've ever wanted to do that might not have been right. I'll just go ahead and do it now because the end is near. It doesn't matter, right? And so you could have that type of view, but that's not what God was talking about. He is saying that God is ready and Jesus is ready. The time, we don't know when, but the time could be near. And so he wants us to live our life as if he could come any moment. And so if we're all honest to ourselves and we ask this question, what would you do differently right now if you knew Jesus was coming back in 5 minutes. So if I had a crystal ball, and somehow I knew, and I was the only one that knew, which, by the way, is never going to happen, let's just pretend, and I could tell you that in 5 minutes, Jesus Christ is coming, would you do something differently? I'm sure all of us, the answer is probably yes. To some degree, there'd be something we would do differently. We might go talk to that lost loved one more time, right? We might want to get one more chance to lead them to Jesus. Or there's this one person that we've just been really wanting to apologize to, or this one person that we've been really wanting to talk to, or maybe I've been thinking about accepting Christ, but I've never done it. And so when you live your life as if God could come back at any moment, it should change the way you live your life. It really should. So what are the benefits of having a proper view of the end of times? Well, 1 John chapter 3 says this. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. So people will naturally start to prepare when they have a positive view of the end of times. You'll naturally start to get ready for it. You'll purify yourselves as if you are preparing for his coming. And so the question begs, are we living with the view of Christ? Are we living with a view of Christ coming back and a sense of urgency and eternity with that? Well, Peter is encouraging us here to be prepared, to be ready, but also to be prepared to suffer in getting ready, that there will be hard times near the end of all things. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also the same, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. And so we need to have the attitude of Christ in being willing to suffer for the Lord. So Christ lived with the thought of the end in mind and worked to prepare Peter and the disciples for that coming. John chapter 14 says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you will be where I am. So why the name Havoc? Having a view of Christ. It's like having a view of Christ's second coming. That's the name. That's why we chose that. I joke about it because Havoc, you get a bunch of teenagers together and you get them being goofy and playing games and all sorts of stuff, there's going to be havoc, right? And so it's a play on the terms, but the real thing is having a view of Christ, living our life as if we're ready for Christ to come at any moment. If we can all benefit, we can all benefit from this. This isn't just a message to our youth students. Every single person here today can benefit from living their life as if they're living with a second coming of Christ in mind. So how do we do this? So I kind of put together a little summary of some of the main key points of how do we live our lives while having a view of Christ. And so the very first thing I would say is we need to have a focused prayer life. A focused prayer life. So verse 7 says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and sober-minded for prayer. And so we need to have a very focused prayer life. We need to be praying to God every single day. And it's not just a prayer as far as, oh, pray for this person because they're sick. Pray that I get an A on my exam. Pray that I do good at work today. It's not that type of thing. Well, those are all still important and they're valid. The focus here is having that open communication, that relationship with Jesus Christ. Because prayer is a constant thing. We are to be in a continuous cycle of prayer. We are to be thinking about God in all that we do, whether it's getting ready to walk in to take a test, or whether it's getting ready to walk into your work, or to come home, or whatever it is, we should be thinking about God and what we are doing. And so self-controlled, the word can be translated to be sober, which means to be free of intoxicants, which can refer to both spiritual and physical intoxicants. So Christians can become intoxicated. We can all get drunk. That's not what I'm talking about exactly. That's one version. But we can also become intoxicated with materialism, idolatry, and worldly pursuits in order to justify and pacify ourselves. So we can become intoxicated with things of the world. And Peter here is saying to be sober and of sound mind and not be intoxicated or consumed with things of this world. And so we live here. We have to live here. We're not supposed to be of the world. We're meant to be standing apart. And so we can easily get tied up in all those other things, but Peter is saying that we need to stay away from that. We need to refrain from that and be ready and focus on God. So Christians must have a right mind, which is full of the word, not world. We must be alert to attack the devil, that things are happening in society and the needs of others. We must be self-controlled. So the second part to living while having a view of Christ is to love one another deeply. So verse 8, it says, "Above all, maintain constant love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins." Now, who here can raise their hand and say that we have maintained a constant love for one another? Go ahead and raise your hand. Right? Unfortunately, that's not possible. I love my wife. She loves me. But there are times where I don't act like I love my wife. There are times where I mess up, right? We all mess up. We all do things that we really shouldn't be doing, and we all do things out of a lack of love for one another. You know, we were actually talking about this morning in our group session this morning about justifying our sins. You know, we get put in these situations and we start to justify it, you know. Well, they said this about me, so I said this about them, right? Well, if you wouldn't have said that, I wouldn't have done this. No. In every situation, no matter if we were wronged first or not, the Bible tells us to treat everyone and maintain constant love, no matter the situation. There's no buts after that. It's maintain constant love. So when people go through suffering, it's very common for it to cause discord. If a husband has had a bad day at work, and it can affect his relationship with his wife and kids when he gets home. When people are stressed, it often brings up harsh feelings and emotions, sometimes towards the people that you actually love the most. Because of these types of cause and effects or actions, we need to truly love one another deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. So look at what God says in James chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. It says, "You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another." Let me say that one more time. "Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door." How many times do we grumble at one another? Probably daily. There's things that we're just grumbling about. Well, unfortunately, the Bible says specifically not to do that. So he said, "Stop grumbling and fighting with one another, because Christ, who is the judge, is coming. He is standing at the door," which means he's getting ready to walk through that door. He's getting ready to walk back to us. He's there. He's ready. We don't know when he's going to step through, but he is standing there. The judge, Jesus Christ, is there, ready to enter. Warren Worsby states this about love. He said, "This love should be fervent. The word pictures an athlete straining to reach the goal. It speaks of eagerness and intensity. Christian love is something we have to work at, just the way an athlete works on his skills. It's not a matter of an emotional feeling that is included, but it's a matter of dedicated will. Christian love means that we treat others the way God treats us, obeying his commandments in the word. It is even possible to love people that we don't like." And so it's intentional. It's not just going to happen naturally, guys. We have to be driven to purposely love one another, even the ones that we don't like. Wayne Grudem continues, he said, "Where love abounds in a fellowship of Christian, many small offenses, even larger ones, are readily overlooked and forgotten because of love. But when love is lacking, every word is viewed as suspicion. Every action is liable to a misunderstanding, and conflicts abound, all to Satan's delight." And so where love is not there, everything is viewed with an intense microscope. You might have meant that some other way. Well, you really meant it bad. I mean, I know what you meant by that, right? And then you get offended, and then you get upset, and then you get mad, and then before you know it, you want to pay them back. And so you say something just as bad, if not worse. And that's all to Satan's delight. Whereas if we viewed that same exact situation with a mind of love, then we might be more understanding. We might think, you know, maybe they just had a bad day. We need to love them anyway and show them kindness. So it may seem impossible to love at times, but it's a good reminder for us that God has already given us his love. Romans 5:5 says, "And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us." So the third thing that we need to do while living, while having a view of Christ, is practice hospitality without complaining. And I capitalized without. So we can all be hospitable, right? We can all welcome people into our homes, right? And so whenever you have a guest over to your house, what's one of the first things you typically do? Can I get you something to drink or eat? You want to make them comfortable, make them feel welcomed and loved, right? Well, that's somebody that you have invited over. And so that's somebody that you are wanting to receive. And so you're probably acting your best. Well, what happens when your worst enemy shows up at your doorstep? Are you going to naturally be as welcoming then? Are you naturally going to welcome them without complaining? Right? Probably not. But the Bible is wanting us to focus that we need to be practicing this without complaining or grumbling about it. So verse 9 says this. It says, "Be hospitable to one another without complaining." So the word hospitality literally means the love of strangers. And so we as Christians, we are called to fellowship with just Christians, right? Once we're in this club, it's an exclusive club that only club members can attend, right? Wrong. We are meant and we are called to go out into the world, right? We're supposed to be reaching all that we can for Christ. And so we need to be hospitable with everyone. We need to be reaching out with everyone, going beyond these walls without complaining about doing it. We need to be focusing on that love that God has. We all need to realize that all we give shall be rewarded by God. Jesus said the giving of a glass of water to a disciple will have a reward. He says that in Matthew chapter 10. We must also have a deep love that practically cares for our brothers and sisters. And so whenever we say that we love someone, you know, you have your immediate family, and that could be your extended family, and we truly love them. I mean, like, we really, really, really love them, right? We would be willing to do anything for them, maybe even lay down a life for them. And then as Christians, we're called to love one another. We're called to love everyone. And so a lot of times we get stuck in this routine of saying, well, yeah, I love you, and I'll just walk on by as you need something because I have this other thing that I need to focus on. True love means that we help everyone out, that we love everyone, and that we're willing to actually make a personal sacrifice to help your neighbor out, whoever that may be. Because at some point, you're going to be the one needing help too. So when we show hospitality towards one another, we are truly serving Christ. In Matthew chapter 25, it says, "The righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in person and go visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" And so there's this thing on YouTube that I think really summarizes it pretty well. And it was a pastor that dressed up as a homeless guy. And he had the look, he had a huge beard and old clothes, and he brought everything with him that would really make you think that he might have been a homeless person. And he sat outside the entrance of his church, and he just sat there on a Sunday morning when church service started. Deacons walked by him as they went into church. Sunday school teachers walked by him as they went into church. Church members, visitors, students, associate pastor, everybody walked by him on their way to church. And they all got in the sanctuary like this today. And the pastor normally comes up. They had a pulpit here. They would normally come up and he would do the introduction. And he would start, you know, "Welcome to this church, blah, blah, blah." And so it was like 10:30 and nothing's happening. And it was like 10:35 and nothing's happening. Where's the pastor? Where is he at? What's going on? And then the door opens. And this homeless looking guy walks out and gets up at the podium. And he starts taking off the clothes, his fake hair, his fake beard. And you could hear the church go, and they realize what they had done. We all are guilty of that same thing in some degree. And the Bible is saying what we do for the least of these is the exact same thing as what we're doing to Jesus Christ. And so we're all guilty of that to some degree. We all need to be willing to help and love one another, no matter the situation. That was just a really good example of that. All right, and then the final thing, another way to have a view of Christ is to use spiritual gifts to glorify God. And this is in verses 10 and 11. It says, "Jesus says, 'Each one has received a gift. Use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. If anyone speaks, let it be as one who speaks with God's words. If anyone serves, let it be from the strength that God provides.'" Here's the key part. "So that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever." And so we're given these unique spiritual gifts with one purpose. If you notice, the beginning of that scripture is talking about things that we do, but then the ending of the scripture brings it back to why we do it. We do it to glorify God. So also discussed in Matthew chapter 25 is the parable of the talents. And it's talking about where he gave different sized talents to different people. And what did you do with that talent? And the one that was rewarded the most was the one that used it the best, right? And so God is giving us all these gifts of some very type of gift that we all have. And he's wanting us to use it to glorify him. Matthew 25, verses 26 and 28 says this. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags." So here is that parable about the talents. And he's saying to the one that didn't use them, "How dare you? I gave you this gift. Use it." And so we all have gifts. And they're all unique to us, that it can be used in a very specific way to glorify God. We saw three youth students this morning using their gifts up here on stage, whether it's singing or using the violin. They're doing things to glorify God. They're not doing it because, hey, look at me, I'm up here on stage. No, they're doing it to glorify God. And I think a lot of times we get afraid about that. We're too shy or too afraid to step out and take that leap of faith and use our gift or talent for God. And we stand on the sidelines and let somebody else do it. But God wants us to use our gifts. So fear is a common hindrance to many. I'm afraid to lead a small group, or I'm afraid to pray out loud, or I'm afraid of anything. Well, God conquers all fear. The Christian who is not living while having a view of Christ will be fearful and lazy in the use of their spiritual gifts. However, when we live with a proper view, there is encouragement and accountability to serve, and one day he will reward us. And so Matthew chapter 25 summarizes it. It says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many." And so if we use those gifts, he will reward us in the end. So the final question is, are we living our lives while having a view of Christ? Living our lives with a proper view will change how we deal with suffering and how we treat one another. Luke 12, verse 45 says, "When the servant thought his master had delayed his coming, he began to live in waste, discord, and other clear sins." And so it can be easy for us as Christians to do the same, because we don't know the end is near. But God is saying that Jesus is standing at the door. He's ready to come in. And so as Christians, we need to be ready for that. We need to be living our lives while having a view of Christ. And we do that by having a good prayer life. We do that by showing love to everyone, not just the ones that it's easy to love, but to everyone. And then we also do that by being happy and cheerful in a hospitality type of way. And then finally, we use our gifts to glorify God again. So I ask you today, what way is God challenging you to live your life as if you're having a view of Christ? There's all of us here today can improve our relationship with Christ. There's things that all of us can do and things that all of us should do. And so I would ask you that if you're thinking, you know, well, maybe I haven't been showing love the way that I should be, or maybe I haven't been using my gift the way that I should be, I guess I would challenge you today to step up, trust in God, take a leap of faith. He will not let you fall, I promise you that. As long as you're doing it with the view of Christ and you're doing it in a faithful obedience to Christ, he will not let you fail. So as our musicians come, we're going to have a time of invitation. If you have a need this morning, I would ask that you come up, no matter what that need is. Whatever God is laying on your heart, maybe you've been struggling with this Christianity thing, you're just not sure about it, you want to ask some questions, or maybe today is the day that you've decided that I am going to follow Christ. Or maybe today you just want to give thanks to God and come up and pray. And we'll use the steps as an altar. Please, if there's anything that God has laid on your heart, please come this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for just your wonderful love and and all these wonderful gifts that we've had. Thank you for the opportunity to live our life according to your will. Lord, I ask that you would challenge us all to see how we can live our lives according to your will, not my will, not based on my desires or wants, but on yours. And Lord, be that beacon, be that light that will shine bright on all of us and just show us the way and the path. Lord, if there's a need here this morning, I would ask that you would just touch their heart, give them the courage to step up and walk down the aisle. Give them the comfort and peace of mind, knowing that they are loved and that you are with them every step of the way. Lord, we in everything that we want to, that we do, we want it to be glorifying to you. And we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Draw me nearer. You know, I knew this dude standing beside of me could do this. I didn't know the young lady on the other side of him was as capable as she was. Next time we're up here and they're doing this, I'm going to make all these guys wear like wigs and all that and everything because, you know. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, thank you guys so much. Did a great job. We'll be seeing them again on the next fifth Sunday, or maybe if Taylor isn't available some Sunday morning when I'm gone and all that, you know, you guys are now on the board. Yay. Hey, listen, coming up when they're going on their trip, be in prayer for them as they go off together and all that. Mark and Amber are going as well. Other adults going at this point. Melissa Markley is going, and Lisa Yoke is going, so hi. Just remember those folks in prayer, too, because even though it is all youth-centered and all that, this is also going to have a huge impact on them as well. So just remember all these folks in prayer as they go, all right? Great day. Amen. Let's pray and we'll head out, okay? Father, we thank you so much once again for this day. Father, I thank you for all the youth that were up here in whatever part they took in today's service. We're thankful for them, and Father, we're thankful that they are willing to give of their talents, whether that be greeting at the door, whether that be taking up an offering, or Father, whether it was up here behind the microphone. Father, we're just thankful for all that they did today. We're thankful for Mark in the way that you're using him to lead this youth group. And Father, we just are so blessed with having him and, of course, his family here sacrificing as they do that. Father, be with us as we go into our different areas of ministry this week. And Lord, we just pray that you would be with us to be better witnesses for you so that people can see the difference that you've made in our lives. Father, once again, thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity. We were here today to bring praises to you. Father, help us to do that each and every morning. And Father, we'll just be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory for what's going on. In your name we pray. Amen. Don't forget service tonight at 6:30, all right? See ya.